one great prohibitive to working out your own salvation is copying someone else. You should recognize your own individuality.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Every person listening to my voice over this radio station should have a burning desire and a driving compulsion to be all that God intended for us to be, to realize that potential, to be authentic Christians, that potential which God has placed within us. I want you to notice with me in verses 12 and 13 of Philippians chapter 2, two facets of responsibility in this connection. There's something for you to do. There's something for me to do. I call it a human element. That's verse 12. And then there's something for God to do. There's something I cannot do, something I must totally depend upon Him for. Some things I cannot do. There's something for Him to do. I call that a heavenly element. And that's in verse 13. First of all, there is a human element in verse 12. You notice that latter part of that verse where Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, what does that mean? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. As I look at that little phrase, it's just filled with meaning to me. In fact, I see two basic ideas that kind of emerge, arise out of that phrase, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The first thing I see is that authentic Christians have the right activity. Genuine Christians have the right activity. They are working out their own salvation. The second thing that I see is that authentic Christians have the right attitude. They work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. I'll expand that. Now, what does it mean to work out your own salvation, to be engaged in the right activity? Well, it means two things to me. You may want to jot them down. The first thing it means to me is that we are to do something practical. Work out. I'll explain that word in just a moment. And then the second thing it means to me is that we're to do something personal. Work out your own salvation, not somebody else's. Now, you know, it's significant here. First of all, under this idea of do something practical, work out your own salvation. It's significant that Paul does not say here, work for your salvation. We read in the scripture, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can never work for your salvation. You can never achieve salvation. It's always a gift of God received by faith. So Paul is not here talking about justification, how to be declared righteous, how to be saved. He's talking here about this process of moral ripening that we call sanctification, that process by which we progressively become conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Work out, in this sense, your own salvation. God is extremely interested in this whole process of bringing out on the outside all of those rich resources and possibilities and potential that He placed in us on the inside when we received the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the living God was imparted to us, and He took up residence within us, and our bodies became His temple. We are depositories of God. God lives in us, and with Him comes many rich resources and infinite potential. And so God is very interested in this process of bringing out on the outside so that others can see and so that His name will be glorified, bringing out on the outside what He placed in us on the inside when He came to live within us, when we accepted Him as our personal Lord and Savior. Technically, what does that word mean, work out? You may want to jot this down. That word means three things. I'm going to tell you how it was used in Paul's day. And these were the ideas that were in the mind of Paul when he gave us this insight. That word is katergeo in the Greek New Testament, and it always was used in three ways. One, it was a mathematical term. It was used for working a problem. Two, it was an industrial term. It was used for working a mine. And three, it was an agricultural term. It was used for working a farmer's field. First, it was a mathematical term. It meant to bring something to its logical conclusion, to develop it or work it to the very finish, to complete it as one would a mathematical problem. That's what God wants us to do with our salvation, to bring it to its logical conclusion. Don't let all of this powerful potential, all of these infinite and vast resources that God has placed within you, lie dormant. Capitalize upon them. Develop them. Learn God's Word. Learn to depend upon God's Spirit. Lay hold of those tools that God has prescribed in Scripture and become that authentic Christian that God intended for you to be. It's a mathematical term. It was an industrial term. It was used of the working of a mine, getting out of that mine all of the valuable ore that was possible, extracting every bit of the value that you could from that mine. And that's what we're to do with this great salvation of ours. Extract every bit of value that you can on a daily basis from it. And then it was an agricultural term. It was used of a farmer working his field, preparing the field, planting the appropriate seed, applying the fertilizers, cultivating the field, and that sort of thing, so that the greatest possible harvest might be realized from that field. That is how that word, work out, katergeo, was used in Paul's day. And so Paul is saying something to us by that. Paul is saying, he is instructing us to capitalize on all of the potential that God has placed within us in salvation, to tap those infinite resources that are accessible to us by virtue of our relationship to an infinite God. We're related to an infinite God through His Son, the Lord Jesus. And that supplies us with infinite resources. Use them, the Apostle Paul says. Capitalize on them. Tap into them. And begin to make your Christian life an authentic thing and a very practical thing. Whatever you do, don't miss all that God has for you in this Christian experience. Notwithstanding the subtle suggestions of Satan, the Bible everywhere teaches that God never intended to impoverish anyone who would become His child. He meant always and only to enrich them. When we become Christians, vast and infinite, powerful resources become accessible to us, and He wants us to capitalize on those and tap into them. You say, well, what are some of those resources? Well, there's the imparted grace of God. The Scripture says there's the indwelling Spirit of God. We have the inspired Word of God. We have the indebted people of God. We're indebted to one another, and we encourage one another, and we exhort one another, and we comfort one another, and we help one another. And the effect of all of those things, the imparted grace of God, the indwelling Spirit of God, the inspired Word of God, the indebted people of God, ministering to one another, the effect of that is we bring out on the outside what God has placed on us on the inside so that others can see it and so that they will glorify our Father who is in heaven. So Paul says, I want you to do something very practical. Work out like a man works out a mathematical problem. Like a miner mines out his mine, like a farmer capitalizes on the rich resources of his soil, gains the greatest possible harvest from his field. Work out your own salvation. Do something practical. Then he says, do something personal. See if you can follow me now in this flow of thought. He says, do something very personal. I want you to work out your own salvation. I said a moment ago, and I want to reaffirm it. It's so easy to be concerned about the other man. Sometimes we hear God's word. It comes forth in might and in power and in clarity. God's Spirit is at work in the hearts of people, and we think, my, that is so good. I'm glad that other person's here. You can hear that message. He really needs that. And we're so preoccupied with what God is doing with the other man, we forget to work out our own salvation. You know, the Scripture teaches us that we're to focus on our own needs and develop and deepen our own personal relationship with God. And as we do that, we'll develop an ability to help others in their needs as well. There's an interesting word in the Bible, just a diversion for a moment. It's a busybody. You ever hear that term? 1 Peter 4 and verse 15, a busybody. You know what a busybody is? It's an interesting word in the Greek New Testament. Alatra episkopos. You say, oh, that's very interesting. You know what alatra episkopos means? Episkopos means an overseer. Alatrios means that which belongs to another. So a busybody is an alatria episkopos, an overseer of that which belongs to another. He's always got his nose in somebody else's business. And the effect is he's never working out his own salvation. It's so easy to become preoccupied with the other man and to forget our own basic and personal needs. As I look at this whole process of working out your own salvation, do something practical, do something personal. As I look at this whole process of working out your own salvation, there are two grave dangers that confront us in this whole process. I wonder if maybe you would jot them down or maybe you could remember them, but they might help you sometime. One great danger, one great prohibitive to working out your own salvation is copying someone else. You should recognize your own individuality, and you should never attempt to be a carbon copy for someone else, copying someone else. The other is carping or criticizing someone else, and let me expand them just for a moment. Paul says, work out your own salvation. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't be a copycat, so to speak, which is a denial of your individuality and is utterly incompatible with working out your own salvation. You cannot be, and God does not expect you to be, anyone else except yourself. You have a specific and unique function. in the vineyard of God that God has created for you and for you alone. We're not to be cheap imitations. Paul would have us to know that. Work out your own salvation. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't mimic and imitate somebody else. Don't copy someone else. Work out your own salvation. We're not to be cheap imitations. We're not to be wrinkled up, onion skin, carbon copies. When God made you, when God made me, he did not say ditto. We're not a ditto for someone else. We are unique beings with a unique function and with a unique potential and a unique purpose. And so Paul says, work out your own salvation, not somebody else's. Don't try to be anybody else except the person God has made you, and be all that God wants you to be for his glory. Copying is one grave danger in this whole process of working out your own salvation. The other is carping or criticizing. And what a devastating thing this is in a body of Christ. You know, there's a natural tendency to justify our own weaknesses and deficiencies by pointing them out in someone else. You know, we can make ourselves look a little better if we see somebody with our own weaknesses and our own deficiencies, and we point them out in that person, and that kind of elevates our own view of ourselves. That is a Christian cop-out. And it's antithetical to this whole idea of working out your own salvation, and it's utterly incompatible with the spirit of Christian love, because the scripture says love does not rejoice in iniquity. That is, no man, no Christian man, should look at another man's iniquity and rejoice in it because it makes him look better. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity. We are not in this way to focus on someone else or on their deficiencies. We are to focus on working out our own salvation. That's a very significant activity. Do you know what kind of Christians are engaged in this process? Authentic Christians. They are working out, practically, their own salvation. They're bringing out on the outside, capitalizing on those infinite and vast resources that God placed on them in the inside. They're bringing it out on the outside so that others can see it, so that they'll glorify their Father who is in heaven. Matthew chapter 5, I believe it's verse 16. But now what's the attitude that authentic Christians have as they do this? Notice with me this latter phrase in verse 12. Work out your own salvation. How? With fear and trembling. So, you know, what does that mean, fear and trembling? Does that mean that if I fail to perform properly, God will cast me into hell? That somehow God will boot me out of the family? No, that isn't what it means at all. This is not the fear and trembling of a slave cringing before his master. Instead, it speaks rather of a wholesome, serious caution combined with a humble frame of mind, because we know this is such an important practice. It is so critical that we do this, that we become authentic Christians, that we work out our own salvation. Actually, I think on a technical basis that this fear is a twofold fear. First of all, this is a fear of displeasing God, because you love him so much. And two, it is a fear of distorting the truth because you love others so much. And if you distort the truth in the eyes of other people, you'll drive them away from the truth. So Paul says, work out your own salvation. Become that authentic, genuine Christian that I intended you to be. Follow the example of Jesus Christ. One, because you fear ever doing anything that would displease your God. And two, you fear ever doing anything that would distort the truth of God.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.